This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I entitled this message, Faithful Living, Faithfully Living by Faith. Now, I would like us to reflect on 2019. As Dirk mentioned, this is a time that we need to reflect and hopefully be able to celebrate. I'm coming closer. You can run. But you can't hide. So we're closing the chapter of 2019 and we're about to open the new chapter of 2020. And if you look over your life, it almost feels, the older you get, that every year is just like one little page in the book. Remember when I was a kid, how I always wished, and I don't know if you had this, you always wished that you were an adult. And the years felt like decades. And it just felt like it was never going to end. And now you're just trying to put brakes on it and say, whoa, what happened to 20? What happened to 30? I'm not 40. You know, it's just like, so by the time, Steve, we reach the 70s and 80s, I can only imagine it's like a rave party. Yeah? It's just... Celebration versus disappointment. I think if I had to ask each one of us individually, especially those that had really a hard year, if you could define what happened in one word, many of us will use the word disappointment. And the word disappointment is an interesting word. Basically, the root boils down to is that it's missing an appointment. We set up this an appointment maybe in our minds that things are going to happen and it just didn't come to realization. You know, you're going for that date and you arrive and it's beautiful wine and dine. The only problem is the date didn't arrive. In Ikasi Brand, and you know, you've saved up for 3 months for this date. It's Cattle Baron. It's your favorite place as a guy. You can't wait to dig into that steak. And the date doesn't arrive. And you go like, man, okay, this really sucks. But at least I can have my steak. And you put in your order and they say, sorry, we've just run out of steaks. There's the disappointment. Not sure which would be the biggest disappointment, to be honest, that steak or the lady that didn't pitch. But disappointment is inevitable in life. Somewhere along the line, there will be disappointments. And often, unfortunately, we make self-appointments that was never from God. God didn't plan it. He didn't put it in the path for this year, for 2019. And for many of us, how do we go about this? How do we move in faith And not miss it, because we now have to turn the page. And we're going to go into 2020. And how do I put out my faith again? I don't know if any of you had the same start to the year I had. It was a crazy start. We moved to Durbanville. We had a child. I felt like Jesus. We had no manger to put our child in. So we were staying with my folks in Stellenbosch, and I was driving in and out for work. We couldn't find a place because we couldn't get our place rented out in Cape Town. So it was just this crazy time. But I was really looking forward to 2019 for normality and just nice. And we come to Durbanville and everything's rustig and it's beautiful. And there's green grass. Cape Town doesn't have green grass. We just have buildings. And this year just went by and it just didn't materialize the way I was hoping for. See, I put a few of my own appointments that wasn't met. And for some of us, by His grace, some of those appointments never happened. But how do we go about this? And I'd like to suggest, if I may, for December, that you take time somewhere, sit down and go share with God your disappointments. Conversation. And when I say share, don't do it in your mind. Talk out loud. You know, our mind is a funny thing, and if you struggle with that, maybe you know you can maybe put a teddy bear, if you have a child in front of you, you can talk sort of to the teddy bear. I don't know how you'll do this, but it might be a bit awkward talking to a teddy bear. God being a big teddy bear, that doesn't quite work. But I really suggest that you go and take time and just go and talk to God and say, Lord, you know, I really had this expectation this year that this was going to happen, and it didn't. I was really hoping for that raise, and it didn't come into being. I was really hoping for that job, and I didn't get that job, and then I was really hoping for that job, and that job fell through, and it's a year later, and I'm still unemployed, and just speak to God about it. Bring it before the Lord. For some of us, it's that wife that never arrived, that partner that never arrived. For some of us, we were standing in faith for a certain healing. That healing didn't happen this year. And for many of us, it's promises that we feel we've received from God that just didn't blossom in 2019. Does that minister to you? Is that a yes? Any of those things, something goes, yeah, I had a promise, or something didn't realize, or something didn't come into place, or I was really hoping for this or for that, I was really hoping we can move, I was really hoping we're going to have breakthrough, and it just didn't happen. And once you've shared it with God, can I suggest that you share it with a loved one, someone that you trust, and say, you know, it's family time, so it's time that when all the families come together, and maybe go speak to your mom or your dad or one of your siblings about it, or if you can't trust them, speak to the dog. You know, we've got a great dog at our house. He doesn't listen to nothing, but he's still nice to talk to him. I think he thinks his name is Duke No Sit Down. But I encourage you to take those disappointments and take it to the cross of Jesus Christ and then leave it there. Leave the disappointments of 2019 in 2019. Let's leave it this side. Let's leave it here, and let's move on into 2020. And for some of us, we have to lament. We see in the Psalms so often as the psalmist laments. We see as David moans in the Psalms, but always ends with celebration, as Dirk was mentioning. We need to end this year with celebration for our own sanity. And for some of us, there's a lot to celebrate, and for others, there's less. But find the silver lining. Find the things that you can truly celebrate and be thankful for. And end this year by saying, Lord, thank you for what you have given. And let's not be consumed by the things that have not been. Not been given. Your homework for December, it's a little bit of homework, is to read through Hebrews 11. That's it. Just Hebrews 11. I encourage all of you to work through Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 starts so beautifully. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I'm not saying anything new. We all know this. We all know the chapter very well. It's the chapter of faith. And James says in James 2, because some of you say, but I did that. I had faith. I had faith. And I'd like to just quickly remind us a little bit of what faith is about. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, You do well. Even demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Now, part of faith, because faith is a mystery, just to start with, it is a mystery. And what James is saying, because we kind of go, right, and we got to do the full truth. So we say, you know, it's not by works, it's not by works, it's not by works. And especially in the more Afrikaans culture and the more traditional culture, we are performance driven. The world is performance driven. What is your worth? So as soon as you arrive and you do your KPA at the end of the year, some of you have done KPAs, I sit with Dirk, and Dirk, what is your worth to the university? Have you been a good lecturer? Have you done your work? Have you done et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And that's what the world tells you. And it causes us to be very works orientated. And it takes away faith. Right? It often removes faith. It's can't mention that story. It's that I can't mention it that way. So we have many doctors in the shofar movement, and this one person came to the front for prayer, and a doctor came to the front, and this person said to the doctor, "I'm so thankful you came to the front because I need medicine, and I was so hoping that you could actually write me out a prescription." And the doctor stood there, and it was this awkward moment of like, okay, but that's not actually how it works, but can I pray for you at least? Yeah, I can pray, but as long as you write me out a prescription. But what James says is, because people often tell you, hey man, you must just believe. You must just trust God. Right? So people, it's always what we say when someone's going through a tough time. You just got to believe. You just got to trust God. And that's correct. But that's one part of it. There's an activation of faith. And what James says is, you can't just call faith all the time. Show me the works. All right, as we go to the next slide. So for some of us, we rely fully on knowledge. We know the Bible, we know the truth, we know the Word of God verbatim, but we have no faith. Other of us, we have this mysterious bit of faith. It's all faith. God will provide, God will provide, God will provide, but you never do nothing about nothing. Because God's going to provide. And we make God to be a genie in a bottle. You rub the lamp and poof! The Holy Spirit arrives, and the Holy Spirit says, "What desire thou with?" And you say, "I want wife." Poof, wife. It don't work that way. We can do that. That's how it worked in the Old Testament. In many cultures still, you go to your parents, you go, "I want wife." Parents go, "I come home with wife." And then they go, "We found you wife." All right? You want that? We can give that. Ross has many times mentioned that he wishes he could do that. So we invite everyone to church, and we sort of put all the men on one side, the single men, all the women on the other side, and you just couple them, and we just do the vows right in front. There you go, brother. Happily ever after. God be with you. And what more shall I say? I'm just joking about the Ross thing, right? He doesn't really say it like that. Just in case I get fired in January. I still want a job. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson. Yes, even Samson. Can you believe that Samson even had faith? Hey, there's hope for all of us. David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies
in flight.
Men and women that had in Scripture that had true faith, that moved in incredible faith. I was Googling something that I believe would be a good example of faith and works working together. And I looked up the tallest building in the world. And it's on the far left in Dubai. I'm not even going to try and take a stab at that name. Any of you want to go for it, go for it. Thank you very much. The Khalifa. All right. Many people have the ability to build buildings. Right? We have a few people in this church that have that kind of that knowledge. There's many engineers that have the knowledge to build buildings. There's very few people that will have the faith to build the tallest building in the world. Can I give you some stats from this building? Can't pronounce the name, but I can give you stats. This building cost over $1.5 billion. That's 22, it depends on what day, but about 22 billion rand. I don't think we'd have enough electricity to keep that building going alone. It has 160 floors. It has 100 kilometers of piping, water piping. It has 213 kilometers of emergency water piping. 213 kilometers. Want as daling aan die brandslaan. It has 34 kilometers of piping for aircon. It's Dubai. And if you take the total mass of windows, it's 120,000 meter squares of windows. That's a lot of cleaning. But someone had the faith to build a building that's 828 meters high. It's almost a kilometer up. Someone had the faith. But not only did he have faith because he knew how to build it, because he was able to plan it, but he put out his faith and he built it. So they ran into problems towards the end of this building. They ran out of money. And the name of the building is the man that actually came and financially helped them build that building in the end. And the stats of the building is incredible. I'm not going to go through all of them. Just those few I thought I'd give. But the biggest problem was to actually fill the building with people. So it was like running for a year and it was still 80% empty. So can you imagine how many rooms must be in that place? I mean, there's the amount of elevators and it just carries on. But the point is that you have faith and then you put it into action. Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. Right there, if you're struggling with peace, that might be part of the problem. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What is Christ saying? That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. What is Christ saying? As you go into 2020, what is Christ saying? What did the Messiah ask you to do this year? That's the best way to reflect. Because otherwise it becomes an empty vacuum of thoughts and arguments. I remember when I started as pastoring in Stellenbosch, as the youth pastor in Stellenbosch, and I went to Pastor Sias, who was running the student ministry at that time, at the end of the year, and I asked him, Sias, how do I know if I had a successful year? As a pastor, how do you know? Do you write your own sermons because you're biased? I think my sermons are amazing. Do you rate it by the amount of time you prayed? Do you rate it by the amount of people you got saved, by the amount of the healings? How do you, what's my KPA? And like a typical pastor, he gave me the pastor's answer. Go ask God. I thought that was such a cop-out. The problem is, that is the right answer. I had to ask myself, what did the Messiah ask me to do? So the question is, could you hear God this year? In all this craziness, in all the disappointment, in all the madness of this year, could you hear Him? And then did you listen? Did you obey? For me personally, the Lord told me to rest this year. He said to me, this year, 2019, will be a year of rest. And can I tell you that I think I failed miserably. Because what is rest? Does that mean being lazy at work? No, that's not rest. But what is rest? Now, if you know me, I don't rest well. I want to do all the time. I come from Cape Town. We work like this. And so, how did I know that was the word? Because that was the word that a lot of people prayed over us and had for us as we left Cape Town to coming to Durbanville. And then in the last 2 months, just for God to remind me how badly I failed, he sent two amazing friends to remind me, just out of the blue, they're both in conversation and said, God has called you to rest this year. I'm like, what are you saying? Are you saying I missed it? Do you say I got it right? What are you saying here? They knew nothing about nothing, obviously. But it was beautiful for me to go, okay, Lord, but did I rest? Sort of, maybe, sometimes, a little. And I can reflect and I can ask God, because He's so gracious, Lord, I need more grace. I don't know what it means to be in your rest. I know what it means in the Word, but I don't have it. It's not permeating from me. It's not part of my life yet. I'm still walking in His rest and learning His rest. This morning I had an absolute other sermon prepared, and I was very excited. I've been doing some research on something that very few people have heard of already in scriptures. I've been so excited, and then God just said, no, sorry. We're going to do it next year. So I've got this excitement for next year because I've already got my first 7 sermons lined up. And I'm working. This is going to be my rest close to this holiday, Googling all these things and reading and doing research on the things that God's showing me for next year. So I want to say that I've got really good news. I really feel next year is going to be an incredible year. And I'm going to explain why. I'm going to explain what God's saying for 2020 for the Bride of Christ. I'm really excited. For what God's about to do, I feel it's a new season that He wants to really come and enlighten us in an area that we might not walk in absolute victory yet. So I'm already in 2020. I already have this burning passion for what God's going to do. But nonetheless, to be able to step over into the next year, it'll be good to make sure that everything's packed and done for 2019. And we can close the door. When you go on holiday, the last thing you do is you lock your door. Well, these days you press a button and the garage comes down. But that's the last thing you do. And you make sure all the geysers are off and, you know, all the taps are closed, windows are closed. Everything's nice and tidy, that when you come back in January that you can come home. It's nice and clean. And that's what we're doing here this morning. Just wrapping up. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and it's one of the scriptures that still baffles us today, be taken up and throw them into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Mama, ek het al baie dit gedoen. Right? Has anyone ever actually prayed for a mountain to be moved? Anyone? Come on. There we go. There's a few of us. For the rest of you, in your holiday, as you're driving, whatever, do yourself a favor, pull the car along the side and go for it. See if you can move that mountain. It's a lot of fun. For 10 seconds. So why, when I prayed so fervently all year, did God not give me the desires? Why did God not answer the promise? Why am I still struggling? I mean, if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, why couldn't he just give me a little raise? I just wanted that 10%, 12%, 6%, 2% raise. Thank you, James, verse 4. 4 verse 3. You ask, and yet you did not receive, because you asked stupidly. It's the Bernie version. You asked wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And if we had to break down, to be frightfully honest, if we had to break down all the things we've asked for, there's a common thread in most of those things. The common thread is me. Me, myself, and I. There's two trinities. The first trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The second trinity is me, myself, and I. For some of our prayers, for some of our thoughts, see, faith is a timeless thing. When you read through those forefathers of faith, most of them did not see the promise that God gave them in their lifetime. Remember the guy called Abram? Abraham, you're going to have kids like you have no idea. I wonder what went through his mind when he heard that. He's like, Lord, well, I'm going to have a lot of wives to be able to make so many children. I mean, and then he has these two sons. One illegitimate son, to be honest. One not planned from God. And he has one son. That was the promise. Moses, you can go into the promised land. You can see the promised land. And Moses in his lifetime didn't see the promised land. So as we go into 2020 and finish off 2019, can I ask that we re-establish our faith? Let's recalibrate our faith. Let's recalibrate. So if you're in the industrial sector, you every year, if you're selling off products that by weight, every year you have to recalibrate your scale and your weights. So let's take this time, recalibrate our faith, and get honest with God in our sharing. Lord, was this me being in faith, or was this just me pursuing my own idols? Was this my own passions? For some of us, was it faith still waiting to blossom? God said, I'm going to have a husband. I had this one, Ekadiri in Vrienden. And for 6 years, every year, she phoned me in the beginning of January. Every year, 6 years straight. Bernie, I'm so excited. first year. Bernie, I'm so excited. God said, this is the year I'm getting a husband. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's amazing. That's really exciting. Year two, January. Bernie, I'm so excited. God told me this year I'm getting a husband. And then I was like, okay. Can we talk about last year? Maybe not. She was very excited. I left it. Year three, year four, year five. So by the time she phones me up in January, my heart, it's breaking for this poor woman. At that stage, I was still single. Maybe she was trying to hint something. I don't know. I kind of pick up this phone, and my heart's sinking for her already. Bernie, this year, God has said. You know what was kind of more sad? Year seven, when she didn't phone me. In a sense, it was more sad. She stopped phoning. Every year she'd put out her faith. Every year she trusted. And there's nothing wrong with this woman. She'll be an amazing, amazing wife. Amazing mother. Some of us, we let go of faith. Recalibration means just let it die. And obviously, God didn't say that year in particular that you'd have a husband, but we can still put out our faith. We can still recalibrate. But we need to determine what is lustful or fleshful desires. And when we don't get it, we don't get it. It should not define us if you got that promotion or not. Even though the guy that got the promotion or the woman that got the promotion was 10 years younger than you and knows nothing about nothing and was just the biggest mistake the company made, even then, you can celebrate. Even then, you can release. Even then, you can thank the Lord and recalibrate. Lord, I thank you for saving me from that position. I thank you that if you want to give it to me, you can and will. Thank you that you just test my heart. God, this year, tested Matty in my heart. Earlier this year, I was offered a job to join any of them in Johannesburg, to show for Johannesburg. And immediately when you hear Johannesburg, you go, that's definitely not God. That's quite easy. And I knew it was a test in my heart when I phoned Matty and I told her, listen, I've just been offered. And she starts laughing. And then right there, I realized we're in trouble. And his heart is fraught. And I said, sweetheart, we're going to have to pray about this. And then the laughing stopped. And she said, jy's nie ernstig nie. I'm like, I'm dead serious. We're going to have to pray about this. Because this might be God. I tell you, the whole rest thing, it didn't fit in with the rest thing. Like, Lord, there's no rest in Johannesburg. I'll have to be up all night. And not because of my child. Walking around with a shotgun, you know, you have this idea of Johannesburg is this wild west. But God could test my heart and test Matty's heart. And we failed miserably. And we had to go, Lord, wherever you call us, we'll go. And thank you, Lord, that it's not Johannesburg. We are very thankful. But at the same time, we need to test our hearts. And then we need to rejoice in the Lamb. When all is said and done, as Dirk said, celebrate and rejoice in the risen Lamb. Because it is finished. And I close with the last slide. Isaiah 40, verse 31.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's renew our strength as we go into 2020. And I want to say that next year you're going to see breakthroughs that you haven't seen. I know this when pastors love saying this. I mean, it's just what we love to do. No, next year, this year is the year of the Lord. But I really believe, and I'm going to explain why, what the Lord showed me. The challenge is to become a mountaineer, you have to climb mountains. So your breakthrough is going to have consequences. Just to put it in perspective. So it's not a better you that's coming in 2020. But it is a better you. But let's end this year in that place of rest, that place where we seek upon God, where we wait upon Him, that we may renew our strength. Let's stand. Father, 2020 is at the doorstep. And the Christmas craziness is at the doorstep, and floods of emotions of 2019, and as we face many disappointments, we face many victories, and we face the reality of life. We face the reality that we are grayer, that we face the reality that we have more wrinkles, as we face the reality that we're getting older, and we face the reality that life isn't getting easier, and we face the reality that every day it seems our country seems a little bit darker, literally and figuratively, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are risen. If there's nothing else that we can be grateful for, Lord, we are grateful for our salvation. We are grateful that 2,000 years ago you finished it on the cross. You came and died and you took away our iniquities. You took away our sins. You made a way that we can stand before the King of Kings, that we can stand before the Father Himself. And we can enter the throne room. And no more do we need a high priest to stand before us. Make sacrifices, because you are that ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, as some of us have gone through major persecutions and other of us have just gone through the normal run of mill of the day, and we thank you, Lord, that we can trust that you will raise us up like eagles. We thank you, Lord, that we can take this little bit of break for those of us that have a break now. And even those of us that are still in work, that we can still be in your rest, that we can enter the Sabbath rest of Christ. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your faithfulness to come and meet with every one of us and those that's already on holiday, and come and speak to us. Come and show us where you were with us. Come and show us where Christ intervened. Come and show us how much you love us. Come and show us how much you care. Come and show that when we wept, you wept with us. When we mourned, you mourned. For some of us, we've lost loved ones, Lord, and for others, we've had some scares, Lord. We thank you that nothing surprises you, that you know everything. You have a plan, you have a way. I pray, Lord, that we can in this time recalibrate our faith. For those of us that have lost our faith, I pray healing in that area. I pray that each one of us will grow in faith and have more faith. And as the centurion asked, please, Christ, give me more faith. We ask for more faith. and that our works may accomplish our faith. That they'll go hand in hand, that we can go into 2020 knowing that you're with us. That we can pack on major events. Knowing that there's breakthrough for each one of us. Knowing that you know every battle, every tear, every disappointment. Thank you, Lord, the bruised reed you will not break. But in this time, I ask for healing over every bruised reed. Every bruised reed in faith, in that place of faith. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.